Well, if you have the passage open, I want to spend a bit of time in this, really picking it up from verse 12. You can see that this is a sort of passage that one just very naturally leans towards at the beginning of a year like this, because it speaks so broadly, so widely about the whole church, about the life of the church and all of our parts in it. You can read this at any time of the year, but I think it's particularly relevant to us now as we look ahead. I want to see what we wish each other at the beginning of the new year, which is a happy new year. It's all well and good to say to each other, happy new year. And I do say to every one of you, happy new year. It's good to see you this new year. But a year is 365 days. We've got a whole race ahead of us, haven't we, before we get to this place again. And what are we going to do in the next 365 days even, to guarantee or to try and assure a real, reasonable, proper degree of happiness in the next 12 months. And I think this passage has a lot to say to us, and I think God would speak to us through it about how that might be fulfilled. I think the first thing, if you look in verse 12 with me, is this whole thing about the body is made up of many parts, but I want you to notice at the end of there, there's just one body. There's only one body. That's so important. I think people look at this passage and sometimes they say, well, that was written a very long time ago when the church was very young and new. There weren't denominations. There weren't all these different churches. I meet people. Do you meet people who are totally, utterly confused about all the different forms, you know, of religion as it appears in the world today? And they go, well, one body. It looks like there's so many different bodies. Which one are we part of? Are you really part of the body of Christ today? Can you honestly say that you are part of the body of Christ today and have confidence about that? Well, let me give you a very simple steer on this. Are you born again? Let me start with that. Are you born again? Yes? Are you born again? You're part of the body. All right? You're born of God. God willed it. God purposed it. God planned it. God did it. He did it by His Spirit. It wasn't of yourself. It's all of Him. It's all of grace. You're adopted. You're His. You belong to Him. You're part of Him. And actually, do you know, it doesn't matter how you feel about it right now or how effective you feel you're being. It's no measurement of your performance or how well you are or how prosperous you are or successful you think you are in fulfilling your cause. All of those things. You are part of the body. If God has loved you and owned you and given you new life, you're part of the body. Full stop. It's the end. Right? We could stop there and just rejoice. Give me a go home. Right? Because God is just so gracious. Now, as you go on to verse 13, you see that there's another thing that we've been given. So we've been given a part. Now, Jesus said, you know, you must be born again. You've heard that. You've read that. John 3, you must be born again. It's the prerequisite for being part of the body. So the first thing, if you haven't experience that for yourself, let me just say in parenthesis, in brackets this morning, you must be born again. You must seek the Lord and ask Him, give you a new life, give you a new birth. Pray, ask Him. And He never turns anybody away. And then you can know what it is to have a part in the body of Christ. And having experienced that and having obtained that, if you will, from the Lord, we see in verse 13, then we're given something else. We're given one Spirit to drink. Do you see that? We are baptized one Spirit. This is just one Spirit. There's a lot of talk about spirituality at the moment. I was noticing a little article about mental health, and they did a survey of mental health issues amongst people who have some sort of religious or non-religious persuasion. So they were doing a survey, atheists. What's the kind of measure of mental health amongst atheists, agnostics, people who've got professed religion and so on and so forth? The people who suffer the worst mental health amongst all the groups in this country are those who profess not to have a religion, but a spirituality. Right? They're kind of trying to tentatively feel out and work out a spirituality, a piecemeal together of various different things and putting it all together. They're suffering terribly, it seems, in terms of mental health issues. Why am I saying that? Because it's such an uncertain position, but if you're part of the body, you're given one spirit to drink from. One spirit to drink from. You've got direction. You've got help. You've got food. You've got nourishment. You've got life. The spirit is the breath of the body, isn't it? The breath, the living breath of the body. It's the spirit of God. If you're born again, you have the spirit of God. You have the spirit of God. That's just wonderful, simple, great bit of news as well, isn't it? You don't have to now I'm part of Christ, now try and get the spirit. You've got the spirit, and you just need to draw on the spirit. It says you can drink on the spirit, walking with the Lord. So that's very simply a description of Christianity for you. Born again, full of the spirit, part of the body, living for Jesus, a new life, and so on and so forth. But then we get down to verse 14, and we realize that, in case you haven't noticed, sometimes we run into one or two little problems. And the problems seem to arise not from these wonderful unifying truths, because when we're considering them all, we all light up, we all smile, we all warm, our hearts warm, we draw closer to the Lord, and in drawing closer to the Lord, we seem to draw closer to each other, and all the problems seem to go away. But, in case you haven't noticed, we're all different. We're all different. Some of us are more different than others. Okay? That's just the way it is. We're all different. And that verse there emphasizes, because there are different parts of this body. So we have got a picture here in the beginning of this passage of unity. Incredible unity. But at the same time, emphasizing that within that unity, there is diversity. We are not all photo fits. There's no such thing as a photo fit Christian. If it's you and you're a believer and you've got the Spirit, that's fine. You don't have to now conform and become something you're not or somebody you're not. You just be you. You're part of the body and you're all different. Even you. Okay? And it's okay. It's okay to be different in the body. But what's greater, the things that divide us, our differences, because actually, you know, given the gravity of our differences, what will happen because of our differences is that we're all going to pull apart. That's the inevitability of our differences. We're just going to all follow our own paths and our own interests, and our taste in music or our taste in clothes or our holiday, preferred holiday destinations or kind of food or language we choose to speak or where in the world we end up. We're just pulling apart, aren't we? Everybody in their own different direction. So what's greater? That which is pulling us apart are differences, or that which is just pulling us closer together, which is Christ and his spirit, which holds us together. And the thing is, it's quite a beautiful picture, this really, is that we've got this force that's pulling us apart, and we've got this force that's pulling us closer together. And what it means is that instead of us getting so close together, if there's only one force, we'd just be crushed all together, wouldn't we, into a mass, an intense mass. But instead, we're being pulled as well in our different directions because of our own unique personalities and interests. So there's this tension in the body of Christ, this vibrancy, a lively tension in the body. And that's important, and it's part of God's plan for our lives. Simply, if you are greater than Christ, what's going to happen is you're going to split from the body, aren't you? Because the power of your difference is going to separate you from everything and everybody else, if you're more important than Christ. But if Christ is more important than you, then the weight and the gravity and the pull and the attraction and the love of Christ will hold you part of the body and keep you in your happy place. Let me ask you something. Are you always happy playing your part? Are you always comfortable in your role? Do you always feel fulfilled in the part that you've been called to play? Have you got satisfaction? Have you got peace in the body of Christ? I mean, quite clearly, where you are and what you're doing is designed and purposed and planned by Almighty God. He's done it. It's His work. It's His plan. He's working it out in your life. But the truth is, we don't always feel comfortable with it. And it's natural, isn't it? Because of this tension. This tension. Pulling apart, pulling closer together. It's natural that at times we should feel more or less comfortable in our positions in the body of Christ. And I think that's very, very important. I mean, you might feel a bit like a foot this morning. Yeah, I think you even use the body, don't we, as a metaphor. You describe somebody as a heel. I mean, that is really sort of saying they're right down there on the lowest part of the pecking order of the body, where everybody's standing on you all the time. You're on the bottom of the pile. Unloved, uncared about, nobody thinks about you, nobody sees you. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? I mean, some people you just don't feel like you're a particularly precious part of the body. It can happen. Or maybe you're an ear. You know, there's some of you ladies got your hair all around you, just don't see your ears. I mean, the eyes there, everybody. Oh, the eyes. You ever see anybody write a poem about the ears? Oh, what beautiful ears you've got. It just doesn't happen in the same measure, does it? It's always the eyes. And it can happen, can't it? That you can feel that your place is not as important, that you're not valued, that you're not appreciated. People don't understand. And that can begin to grate on you, can't it? It becomes unsettling. It can happen inside you. But you go to that foot, you're feeling like that, let's say, and you ask that person, and you say to them, right, I know how you're feeling right now. But are you happy with Christ Jesus? Do you love Him? Is He wonderful? Has He done incredible things for you? Is there anybody like Him in heaven or on earth? Is there somebody else that you trust more than Him? Is there anybody who's ever loved you the way that He's loved you? And that same unhappy, dissatisfied, restless soul will be transformed, won't they? If that person is a Christian and a believer, they'll be just warmed by the very thought of Jesus Christ, and you'll see that transformation taking place in their heart. They're happy with Jesus, aren't they? Right? You Christians, are you happy with Jesus? Or are we looking for somebody else? So then, why is it that we don't apply that happiness? You're part of the body of Christ. You're not any old foot, you know. You're not any old heel. You're part of Christ's body. Doesn't that make it remarkable? Doesn't it make your position, your status, your situation exceptional, wonderful, a privilege? We've read this morning with the kids that God organizes the body. You look like you've got the sun in your eyes. You all right there, brother? You sure? Okay. The rest of you, warm? Are you too warm? Comfortable? It's relevant to my message. Because it's all about caring for the body, isn't it? Caring for the body. And the position that you're in, however you feel about it, when you remember Christ, those feelings fade and change. Right? But when you think you're absorbed with yourself, they become more pronounced, don't they? That's just the way it is. But just think about this. I said, you were getting the sun in your eyes. You just sat there and the sun's on your face now. Sit in the shade, Stuart. You're making me unhappy. The position you're in, who put you there? Not only are you part of the body of Christ, which is immense privilege in its own right, but we just read with the children, didn't we? Chapter 12, verse 18. Who put you in the part of the body in the exact place that you're in right now? Who organized it? Who ordained it? Who's planned it? God Almighty did. The maker of heaven and earth. Do you look up at the sky and look at the stars and think, wow, what an amazing God. What an amazing God. Well, He has organized His body, His people, with exactly the same care and purpose and design. You are right where you are through design, through his purpose. And he's given you an incredible privilege as well to be part of the body of Christ. So we're talking about happiness a little bit, about being happy. I'm trying to talk about being happy. People, so if you've heard this one, you know that joy is a kind of spiritual thing, whereas happiness is a rather worldly thing because it's all based on circumstances. Have you ever heard that one? Yeah, sometimes, one or two of you. I think it's true that happiness is actually based on circumstances, on events. So if you want to be happy, when you say somebody, Happy New Year, I suppose what you're kind of wishing really is that financially everything's going to go well for them. From a family point of view, relational situations wise, things are going to go well for them. That they're going to do frightfully well in all their and plans and all that sort of, that's what you're kind of saying. Be happy. You want good things to happen to that person so that they can then respond to those good things and feel good, right? That's what we're saying when we're saying happy. But what if those things don't happen? What if they don't happen this year? Okay? I'm not saying they will or they won't. I'm just saying what if they don't? Can you still have a happy new year? Well, you need an event, something to happen to make you happy. Jesus came into this world and gave his life for you to redeem you. There's an event. It's called Calvary. Something happened. And you can draw on that event for the whole of your life and draw down from that immense reservoir of love. You can draw for the whole of your days sufficient to make you happy every day for the whole of this year, forever and ever. Amen. You've got a part in the body. You're there by the design of Almighty God. And something wonderful has happened. We read it, didn't we? We did it with the kids. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. Wow. Have you got cause to be happy this year? Right? You've got cause even before the event. The year hasn't even happened yet. But I can say that if you're part of the body and if you put your trust in Christ, you are guaranteed in that regard a happy new year. It's already done. It's already finished. I'm not saying that I don't care or that you don't enjoy good health or any of those other things, but they are what you might call fringe benefits. Fringe benefits by comparison. Now that doesn't mean that you're all going to go and walk around smiling all year. Because this tension, sometimes we're going to be more focused on ourselves and we'll lose our joy. We'll lose that sense of happiness. But when we keep coming back to him and keep drinking on the Spirit and being refreshed by him and remember who we are and what he's done for us, we'll revive again and again and again and again and again. Because we're part of Christ. But there are things that we've got to deal with, aren't we, amongst ourselves. Being part of the body also has, there are further blessings, further benefits for you in this coming year. You're part of a body. And if you're a heel, and you're sore, and you're worn down, and you're hurting, there's a hand in the body too, isn't there? There's a head in the body that feels the pain that you're in. It sends it right up to the top of the body, and the body has a think up there and says, well, what can I do about it? And it sends a message to the hand, and the hand comes down and gives you a good old rub or commands the knees to bend in a proper sit down and give those feet a rest. And I hope that in the course of this year, we'll see the body at work. People, the Spirit working amongst us, communicating amongst us that the needs being met, helping one another through the course of the year. We do need rest. People become unhappy and overtired and overburdened. It does happen, and they can't focus or draw on Christ as they perhaps normally would. And they need somebody else to come along and minister to them, to remind them, to build them up, to pray for them, to show them some of the love of God. Because every single part of the body is precious. Every single part is precious, except the appendix, it seems. I don't want anybody here saying I'm an appendix, okay? All right? You're not an appendix. The truth is, when that one who is hurting, when they feel better, the whole body feels relief. The whole body feels relief. You know what it's like after a long, tiring bit of exhaustion, and you finally sit down, you put your feet up. It's not just your feet that feel better, is it? All of you just goes, ah. Your heart brings contentment to your heart. What's the heart of Christ's body? What's at the heart of Christ? Just isn't it God? The thought that actually when we help each other, it brings pleasure to God. It ministers to the Lord in some way, shape, and form. It's just not an option, you know. It wouldn't be great, isn't it? You know, if you could just dismantle bits, the bits of your body, you could just, like, you're walking along, my feet are sore, I could just unscrew them, take them off, and now I feel fine again. Or I could just take off my hands and just, then I feel fine when I've got blisters or I'm sore or something like that. This doesn't work. Every part of the body is precious and needs looking after and caring for. And of course, as we read in verse 28, because we can get stuck in all the metaphors, we are talking about the church, aren't we? Let's be open about this. We're talking about church life. We're talking about not just the way we work together in this next year, the kind of spirit that we work in this year, because we're just part of a much, much bigger thing. The body of Christ is much bigger than us. But we have got our part. And within our own part, we are talking about the way it all works here. As you read down from verse 28, you'll see that the body, you see, there are all these different functions within the body, and there's no two ways about it. There are priorities in the body. I don't know about you, did you used to do this when you were a kid? You used to ask each other in the playground. I used to say, if you had to lose one part of your body, what would it be? Do you remember that? I wouldn't mind losing my hearing, but I could never lose my sight or something. Do you ever have those conversations? No, it's just me. Strange bunch of kids, maybe. But there are things that are more seemingly more important. Some parts of the body that I suppose push comes to shove, like the appendix, one could do without. They don't take tonsils out anymore, do they? Very, very rarely. They used to have to take everything out, didn't they? Adenoids, tonsils, out they come. They don't seem to do that anymore. But there are some parts of the body that I suppose one can do without. And we read here as we look at it, in verse 28, there is a sense of priority, isn't there? Apostles first. And then prophets are second. And teachers are third. And then you've got that one section. And then you go on to the other sections like the miracles and the healings and the administration and the other gifts. And they're down there. There's a sense of priority. What actually, if I have to lose all those other things I can lose, but like, let us make sure we keep the apostolic sense of calling and teaching and ministry and outreach going from this church. That's our priority. And yes, if somebody can come along prophetically and speak into our lives dynamically and build us up, then marvelous. And if God would send a teacher along who can systematically settle us down into the doctrines of Scripture and all that, they say, well, that's good. And if so on and so forth. There's a sense of priority in the body, isn't there? And there are priorities we're going to have to deal with in this coming year to maintain and to look after, because we're not all the same and we've got different roles. But we are united, aren't we? Yes? Because of Christ. Just because of Him. Simply. And even we're not just talking about this church. We're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, the one body, the one spirit. We are part of it, come what may. There's so many potentials for rivalry and envy within this group of people. There's the first, the seconds, the thirds, and then there's the others and all that. And it can go down the list and people can be envious against one another and all that sort of thing. But basically what I've been said to you this morning, very simply, if I could sum it up in one word, is be happy. Be happy, find contentment in Christ Jesus in 2018. and 13. And it's 12:05, and we could go home and sing a song and end on that note, and I'll talk to you about something else in a minute. Well, 2 seconds. Because you don't get off that lightly with me, I'm afraid. Because I've got one more thing I want to say. One last thing I want to say. And I'm not going to take the full time to say it. I want you to just look at verse 31. Because I'm not just finally saying to you that really our challenge this year is for every one of you is to just sort of shut up and put up and be happy with the situations that you're in and the part that you've got to play. And you've just got to perfect that and settle into it. And that's really the plan for 2013. That's not everything I've got to say. Look at verse 31. We're left a challenge. Yes, to be content and find happiness and peace in Christ Jesus and the part that we have to play this year. Yes. But there's something else. Because all that negativity and all that tension and everything like that, actually, when you turn it on your head, there's a holy dissatisfaction in the body too. There's a challenge in the body too to make progress. Not just to perfect who you are and what you are and be settled in it, but from that place of peace, now grow. Now go. Now, not just seek the next best gift up the ladder. Look in verse 31. Seek the best gifts. Go for gold. Go for the mountains. The sky is not the limit. You can go all the way when you've got peace with God and you're doing it for the right reasons. And I'm not going to go into it this morning, but I want you to notice that as you read verse 31, there are two, I don't know if you've got it in your Bible, first part of verse 31 is included at the end of chapter 12. Have you got that in your Bible? And the second part of verse 31 is in the first verse of chapter 13. Yes, you got that? And it's almost as if verse chapter 13 is just for weddings, and chapter 12 is just for church meetings like our own, and never the two till meet. But what I want you to notice is that eagerly desire the greatest gifts. Not only is God encouraging you not just to find your peace and contentment in Him, but also to make progress after the very highest and the best you can be in Christ. But then He is so serious about that He's prepared to show you how to do it. Eagerly desire the greatest gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. The most excellent way to do what? To pursue and obtain the very best you can be in Christ Jesus. And how are we going to do it? Because it's not, you know, there's no point in just, oh, well, we should all be preachers and we should all be great givers and all this sort of thing. It is finally to do with our attitudes and our motives and our heart about all this. The very best we can be is when we're doing what we do for the love of God and for a genuine loving care for the people around us. Because that is what Christ is like. That's who He's like. And we are His body, and we are here to represent Him in this world, but only for a short season. Because I'm going to skip through to the end. When you get to the end of that chapter 13 there, it's pretty clear, verse 12, that He wants us to remember that the real Jesus, who we're just representing, will return. The real Jesus will come. And we are to do this work until that happens. Bring on 2013. Bring it on. Bring it on. Oh, there's so much to say. Let's sing together.